Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Thanksgiving and peace. As we look forward to this week of Thanksgiving, a time that we have set aside as a nation, and I wish that our nation would return back to the true Thanksgiving. Being thankful to God that we have in centuries past, in decades past, been willing to acknowledge that's why we have this. It is in thanksgiving to God, not in thanksgiving to each other, not in thanksgiving to some non-entity that has done something, but, you know, to go ahead and say it to God. Amen. There's no confusing government and God by acknowledging that there is God. You're not conflicting church and state by doing so, and I would love to see our elected officials acknowledge that. You haven't brought religion into the government by acknowledging that, yes, God has blessed us. And we need to set aside time to thank our Lord, thank God for the blessings that He has bestowed. But I trust that we will not only know the truth of Thanksgiving, but also the understanding of the truth of Thanksgiving within our historical context of our country. But it is that time of year when we pause from the hustle and bustle of our lives and reflect upon these things. And I'm glad that we do, and it is not a pause and reflection upon God alone who is to be thanked for all that we have. I mean, He is to be the one that we stop and reflect on. Can we be thankful to people that have done things for us? Yes, and we should. We talked on that, you know, again last week about being thankful to others, and we can take time to pause it, but I trust that it's not just, oh yes, I'm holding all my thank yous for the week of Thanksgiving, and now we just unload. Do you keep tabs like that? Oh yes, let's see. You know, that person that opened the door for me at Dillon's. Well, you can't open it at Dillon's; it opens automatically. But Dollar General or someplace else where there's no automatic doors. Did you grab their name and address so that, you know, now at this time of year you can send them a thank you? You know, thank you for opening the door for me when I entered on such and such a date. I don't know that we do that. But may we not take time to say, you know, God, give them a blessing. They did something for me back then. God bless them. We can ask God to bless them, sure, but, you know, take care of it then. That's something that can be done then as opposed to this time of the year when, yes, we still should be thankful to those around us. And we can reflect on those things. And what a joy to do that. But, you know, our thankfulness as believers stems from what God has done on our behalf. In our thanksgiving, God is always to be the focus of that thanksgiving. For He is the one who has provided all that we have. And as we look at our passage this morning, these three familiar verses to us, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Three verses that have a lifetime of application, a lifetime of practice. And I trust that we do. Let's pray. Father, we come to Thee. We do thank You for this time that we have to open up Your Word. Father, I do pray that we have opened our hearts. We've opened our minds. We're ready for You to now take Your Word and use it in our hearts as You deem best and fit as believers. Father, I pray that we are willing to accept Your convicting, you're convincing, you're admonishing, you're encouraging. All that you do with your word as we take time to look into your word. Father, may we not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit as he uses your word. May we not cauterize our hearts and harden them against the working of you with your word in our hearts. But we would remain receptive, even when it goes counter to something that we are already thinking, but you are convincing us that that's wrong and convincing us of the truth of your word and willing to make those changes for our better. For it's our good and it brings glory to you as you conform us into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Father, we do pray for that one that may be here lost. Draw them unto thee as you convict and convince them of their lost position, of how that Christ was lifted up on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for their sins. May they come to a saving knowledge of him this morning. May they be wondrously born again, brought into your family, having their sins washed, having them forgiven. Do that work of grace in our hearts. Truly, Father, may we go forth rejoicing that you've done a work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at our passage this morning, consider things with thanksgiving and peace, two key thoughts that are in our passage this morning. He reminds us of praying with thanksgiving. And I trust that as we do pray, I mean, we often think of prayer, well, that's me bringing my concerns, my needs to God. That's my praying on behalf of someone else, interceding for them, my friends, my family, who need God to be at work in their lives. But our prayer is also a time to thank the Lord for how he has answered those prayers, for what he is doing in our lives, and to take that time. And we see that word often when we see prayer brought up. But, you know, thanksgiving, as we look at this, calls for looking up. As we look at our lives, we know that it's not a calm sea that we float on this life. As much as we may desire to have calm seas, our lives are not. The sea, I think, is an appropriate illustration of our lives. There are times when it is calm. And then there are times when the life is raging. The billows are tossing high, as the writer of one of our hymns brings up. Master, the tempest is raging. And calling from the gospel account of Christ on the Sea of Galilee. And we can have those troublesome times, those tumultuous waves, and we can think that we're going to be dashed to pieces. I know when my dad was here, you know, many of you talked with him, but he would often talk and show pictures when he was on ship on a destroyer, which is not exactly a huge ship, but the destroyer was in a very harsh storm. And he was trying to go up to take a picture of the bow of the ship and keep himself kind of perpendicular to the ground or the sea if it had been calm, while the ship is listing off to the side so that you could see how much it was listing because of the storm, or bearing the bow into a wave and watching it come up to the 5-inch gun in the front and hiding the rest of it in front of it. Dad never got seasick in all his days in the Navy, and now he has Meniere's disease, vertigo. And so he's walking around on land like he used to walk on the ship while he's walking on the ship through those storms. You don't walk in a straight line because you can't. And so he's just thinking, God, just paying him back a little bit. You were fine on those ships. You never got seasick, but now we're going to give you this. But he's taken it well. But I can remember growing up and him talking about these things and seeing the pictures of, you know, the ship leaning way, way over. And it's like, okay, is it going to tip over? Is it going to capsize? No, we stayed upright and kept going. But our lives can be like that sometimes, can it not? We have those storms that rise up in our lives and we're tossed about and, you know, we feel like a cork on an ocean just bobbing around and seemingly being overwhelmed by the storms that come. And yet it is time to look up. I mean, if anything, that's when we need to look up. Because who can deliver us from the storms? Our God. We all go through those times of troubles. Notice what Christ would say to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And he's just been talking about a lot of things, about the Holy Spirit coming and residing in them. But he continues, he says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." But notice what he says there. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Peace where? In the midst of the storms. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We live in this world. This world is no friend of grace. It's no friend of Christianity. It's no friend of the Bible. And I trust that we realize that and accept it. It's lost. As Paul would tell the Corinthians, Scripture's spiritual truths are foolishness to them until God convicts them of their sin and they're wondrously born again. And God has given them a new life in Christ where, yes, now they can understand the rest of the Scriptures. And it's not foolishness unto us then. Because we have the author residing in us that's helping us to understand. He guides us into all truth. But may we recognize that we do live in a world of tribulation. We do live in a world where we can live in storm-tossed seas. And we can endure hardships because God gives us peace in the midst of those hardships. His peace. That as he promises here, that peace of God which passeth all understanding. And it, as I have said often, it provides us with that opportunity then to turn around to those that are around us that don't understand, who see our storm-tossed life, just like their lives are storm-tossed, but we're walking around in the midst with peace. While they're at their wits' ends, and that provides an opportunity because they will usually ask you, "How can you be so peaceful? How come you're so calm? How is it that you're doing this when this is going on in your life? Man, when I did some, when that happened to me, I was just..." And we have the great opportunity to tell them, "Here's why. Because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I was just like you, a lost sinner. And Christ saved me. And that which you evidence is God's peace in my heart because my life is His. And I pray to Him. I don't understand everything that's going on. It doesn't mean that God's going to make it all understandable. But He gives me His peace to go through this. Amen. And I'm content. And we go. And I thank God for that. When we look back at this time and we consider the pilgrims, those that came to the New World, leaving England, leaving Europe. If you know the history of the pilgrims, they are in England, they flee England, they go to Europe, they're there for a little while, they come back to England, and then they come to the New World. I think sometimes it's hard for us to go back. You know, this is now 2025. To go back 405 years. That seems kind of odd to say. To go back to 1620. They're coming to the New World. Jamestown in what will be Virginia was started in 1607. The first permanent English settlement in the New World. Sir Walter Raleigh had tried 20 years earlier in what is now North Carolina and the Lost Colony, as it's called. Jamestown is the first permanent one. It's there. They're there. They survive. They start to flourish. The pilgrims want to go to that because that's the only charter that's been given to come to the New World. But the storms that they encounter keep them farther north than going down to Jamestown off of the Chesapeake Bay. They endured hardships, sickness, and loneliness. Realized that nearly half died the first winter. There were 102 who left England. Two were born during the voyage. And 99 actually landed at Plymouth Rock in November of 1620. Of that 99 who landed in New England, there would be 45 who would not live out that first year in New England, in Plymouth Plantation, as it would eventually be called. I think it is humbling to read about these things, especially when you consider, you know, what was modern for them isn't modern for us. They were willing to do so. Why? Because of their religious beliefs. They wanted to worship God as they pleased, which was different than the Church of England. They were persecuted, and they sought a place of refuge. And so they come. We know, I trust the story, they befriend some of the Indians. Some of the Indians aren't so friendly. But they have a drought in the summer of 1623. Which causes them to look up. And William Bradford writes this in answer to prayer. Because as that summer progresses, they seek God. They're 3 years into this, into their fourth year, the third year. This is 1623, they haven't reached November yet. They've had their trials, they've had their tribulations, and now drought is happening. Our crops are withering up. That's our livelihood for the coming winter. But William Bradford writes this about how God answered and rains came. And he notes this. He says, they set apart a solemn day of humiliation to seek the Lord by humble and fervent prayer in this great distress. And he was pleased to give them a gracious and speedy answer, both to their own and the Indians' admiration that lived amongst them. Again, what an opportunity to show who God is. For all the morning and the greatest part of the day, it was clear weather and very hot. And not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward evening, it began to overcast, and shortly after to rain, with such sweet and gentle showers as to give them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. It came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in that abundance, as that the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decayed corn and their other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and the Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers, with interchange of fair warm weather, as through his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest, to their no small comfort and rejoicing, for which mercy in time convenient they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. Yes, they had something to be thankful for. As they're there in the midst of that summer and watching the drought, the lack of rain, the heat, wither their crops, their livelihood, not just for now, but, you know, storing for winter, seeing that possibly be gone yet again, they seek God. They look up. They seek the one who can bring answers, the only one that can bring answers. And obviously they ask for rain. And God gives them that gentle kind of rain, as they note. Not the thunderstorm, not the ferocious winds that come with it, not like the hailstorms that we've had, but a gentle rain, a soaking rain. And then would bring them back again and again at appropriate times. So that what looked like a disaster in the making becomes a fruitful and abundant harvest when it's time to harvest. Thankful for the mercy of God. Was God obligated to answer that prayer? No. But God, in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, granted them their request and blessed them. And they then took time and set apart a time of thanksgiving and said, yes, we have this bounty. Now let's thank our God because He's the one that has provided this bounty. And again, they looked up and thanked God. And I trust that we do too, in the bounty that the Lord has given to us. This thanksgiving isn't just for the farmers. And yet, you know, we tie that because of the pilgrims, they're farming, it's their livelihood. But, you know, I've never farmed. Planted small gardens along the way in different places that I've lived, but that's not been our livelihood. I've worked other things. Can I be thankful for those things? Yes. God's provided. God always provides. It's not to be selfish and say, nope, only the Shugrins, only the Dossetts, only the Nelsons can be really thankful because they're the farmers. And they show us. They have faith. They're dependent upon God. Because He's the one that provides. He's the one that germinates the seed. He's the one that waters it. He's the one that provides the harvest. Say, well, I'm not that. So did God give you the grace and strength to do what you do? Or did? For those that are retired? Yes, He did. And we too can be thankful. Because as we find in our lives, our health situation can change in a moment. Appreciate those that have asked about my sister. She's doing as well as can be expected after this heart attack and these three stents. But I'm sure she would attest, you know, was she expecting this? Nope. And yet it's occurred. Kind of told her jokingly yesterday, I said, okay, sis, leave it. Dad's got five. Don't try to outdo Dad, okay? Consider the three fine, and let's just call it a day. You don't need to be competitive and try to go with something more. Just leave it at that. But we have those things come up. And we may not always understand, but one of those things is God's taking care of us. I thank the Lord that He didn't take her home. As much as we aggravate each other, we have fun. I could say at times maybe she was my thorn in the flesh growing up. The little one, not so much. She just kind of stayed to herself. But the middle child was always tracking after her older brother. But I'm thankful that she's still here. When my sister called me yesterday and was trying to say something, I knew something not good was going to come. I thought, okay, what's happened? Is Dad okay? Is your husband okay? Is a niece or nephew? What's up? And she finally gets it out that Enid's had a second heart attack, had three stents put in. But is it time to look up? God, you've met the need. And we see how He has done it, and we should take time to thank Him. Thank you, God. Our pilgrim forefathers did. They saw a specific time to say, yes, God, we need to thank you. Because you did something that we weren't seeing unfold. We were facing drought. We were facing ruin. But you intervened. You came to our rescue. You provided rains and you nourished those plants and they were able to produce abundantly for us. When I'm sure looking at those plants in the midst of the drought would say, this is hopeless. This has stunted their growth. This has injured them. They're not going to give us a harvest. But God stepped in. And God brought about those things. So looking to our helper, our healer, our friend, and watch how He moves and meets those needs should cause us a time of great thanksgiving. Thanksgiving calls for looking around. We all have many blessings and ought to give thanks for them. That's why we took time last week to thank the Lord. What are you thankful for? What are some things that God has ministered and met needs with you? And we considered Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, as we put on that sheet. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. Because he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, just stop and think of those verses and put yourself there. Yes, God has done that for me. So may we not forget His benefits. He's forgiven all thine iniquities. You believers, you children of God, your sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. They were nailed to Christ on the tree. God has forgiven you them. He will never bring them back to mind. They are not a hammer that He holds over you, threatening you with. They've been forgiven. That is something that should cause us thankfulness for all eternity. because we'll not be spending an eternity in hell, in torments because of it. He's forgiven us our iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases? He takes care of us physically. To which I would say, but what about those that have died because of those diseases? Well, if they were in Christ, where are they? And do they have that disease? No. They're in heaven with a new body that will never have those diseases. Much like the Hebrew children, the three, with the fiery furnace, you don't have control over us, King. Our lives are in God's hands. He will deliver us. If He brings us through the fire, He's delivered us. If He takes us home to be with Him, He's delivered us from you. You have no power over that. We need to understand that with our lives, that death is not a bad thing. Doesn't mean that I want to die tomorrow. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's not a bad thing. And so, yes, He delivers us, heals us of thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things. I would really hate to consider what my life would be like without Christ. Growing up in the broader context, a dysfunctional family. I have no idea where I would be. And I would shiver to think where I would be. But God, who is rich in mercy, saved me. Gave me a new family. Family of God. So we ought to start each day thankful for His many benefits. As we look around, God has been so good to us. And is always so good to us. Lastly, thanksgiving calls for looking ahead. Doubt cringes and cowers, afraid of what tomorrow may bring. We may wonder, what does tomorrow bring? I don't know. We may be, as we, in our Bible reading schedule, we just recently finished the book of Acts. And we see Paul and his entourage as they're heading to Rome on the ship, and the storm hits them after they've left Crete. And Paul told them, you shouldn't have left Crete. But they left a small port. They wanted to get to a larger port in Crete, but the winds took them away. They should have stayed over the winter on terra firma. But the captain and the owner of the ship said, no, we got to get this cargo to Rome. I need that money. I'm paraphrasing and adding, but I'm sure that's what's driving that factor. We need to get this to Rome. This is our precious cargo, this wheat. We need to get paid. And as that goes on for 2 weeks, 2 weeks they're tossed about in the Mediterranean Sea, slowly heading west, with no human means of help. Nothing they can do is helping them. And Luke says, when all hope was lost. They've been tossing things out to try to lighten the ship so that it's not sitting so deep in the water to be splashed on and flooded out. Nothing seems to be working. We can't put the sails up because it's taking us the wrong way. put the sails up, get them out of the way, just everything that they know to do, humanly speaking, to work through this storm is not working. And when all hope is lost, Paul steps up. And I like what he says. Be of good cheer. God's been with me. God's given me an assurance. Yes, you should have stayed at Crete, like I said. There was that, I told you so. I told you to stay, but you didn't. And now here we are. But God's given me assurance. We're going to be okay. I've spent time with him. And he has told me we're going to be okay. But we all have to stay in the ship. And God delivers them. Paul had that opportunity that God gave to him to look ahead and say, it's going to be okay. God had already told Paul, you've got to stand before kings. Kings, plural. He has stood before King Agrippa, and he's appealed to Caesar, the ultimate king in Rome, that he will stand before one day and give testimony. That we can look ahead. And he gets rid of the concerns that we have. Doesn't mean that we are blind to the storms. They're there, but there's more to life than what's going on now. There's looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We can look forward to what he has for us. We can stop and consider, as we see in verse 8, consider those things that we need to be focused on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on God. Think on His Word. It's not an escapist attitude about the storms that we're going through, but it's looking at the reality of our lives. Yes, it's a storm, and God's with us in the storm. Amen. And He's going to bring us through this storm. Think on these things. Because they are the things that are going to get us through the storm. Always. And it is a place then for thankfulness to come. Peace to come as God fills us with His peace. And we find ourselves in a much better place. I know we've had at times when we get into those troubles. And our minds stay focused on that trouble. And we become like the little red hen? The sky is falling because something hit her on the head. And we go off because of this and running around willy-nilly like that instead of stop, focus. Who's taking care of you? Oh, God is. Ah! Stop and focus. Who's taking care of you? God is. Okay, stop and consider God. What is He doing? What is He wanting to accomplish? Say, well, I don't know. Open the book. Read His Word. He will start to show you. Think on these things. Take it to prayer. Take it to God in prayer. And He will get rid of the helter-skelter. And He will bring us back to focus on Him. And the peace settles us. Oh, the storm's still raging, but we're settled in His peace. Assured, God's at work. And I'm thankful for that. He will bring me through. He will bring us through because He's our God. He loves us. He cares for us. His mercy, His grace, His peace, His love, His all is overflowing to us when we make Him our focus, when we draw ourselves back to Him. We have much to be thankful for. May we thank Him these coming days as we have this time of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for how You meet our needs. We thank You for how You care for us in this life. Father, we admit we don't understand a lot of what has gone on in our lives, and I still don't understand a lot of the things that have gone on in the past. But Father, we rest in our faith in You. It's Your plan. It's Your life. And You've allowed these things to come and go. And really, they are all there to cause us to look to You. The storms to cause us to look to You, for we can't do anything. And Father, as we see You bless us, as we see You calm our hearts, that too is a time to look to You, to thank You. To acknowledge that, yes, Father, You have been at work in my life. You have brought these blessings. You have brought these things that have just strengthened me. And I thank You for them. Father, the good, the bad, the in-between, all of this causes us to look to You. And I pray, Father, that we would acknowledge that. Think on these things. Bring everything to You in prayer, knowing that Your peace will surround us, protect us, for which we thank You. Father, I pray that if there is something that has come to our minds, You have prompted us, that we've not been thankful for. Maybe ask Your forgiveness for not being thankful. And truly open our hearts to thankfulness to You. Father, of all people on walking on this planet, Your children should be the most thankful, the most joyful, the most peaceful of all peoples. May we be such a people as we leave this place. May we show forth the Lord Jesus Christ brightly in our lives because of how You have ministered in us, to us, and ultimately through us, as we have opportunities to share with others of the hope that lies within us. Do that work in our hearts now, we pray. Truly, Father, may we go forth rejoicing, saying it's been good to have been in Thy house. We've been changed by Your working with Your word in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.